I'd like to greet each and every one in the Master's worthy name this morning. As Brother Terrell was sharing this morning, I appreciated that opening devotional on Christ and Paul's teachings to the Colossians there. And you know that Christ is, may he be preeminent, may he be first in our lives. This evening, I feel like, you know, as Terrell mentioned, we work together, and I feel like I should be listening to him teach tonight. I really enjoy his insights and would have been contented to remain seated this evening. But this evening, my message that is on my heart is a renewed mind. And this message is something that was, you know, came to me and a few months ago. And I had a message in our churches, in a couple of our churches. And so, if we turn to Romans chapter 12, is where I would like to base this message and where I was reading. As we think of this renewed mind, and I'd like to look at, you know, why we have a renewed mind and maybe look at some aspects of getting the renewed mind and then finishing up with some renewed thinking. You know, how Paul gives us some examples of renewed thinking here in Romans chapter 12. As we start the first verse of Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore. And our bishop brother says, when you come across therefore, see what it's there for. You know, I beseech you because of this. So if we look back, and what's he talking about? Why does he say this? And we see Romans chapter 11, you know, filled with the restoration of Israel. But it stops with, it talks about God in the last few verses. I'd like to read that, starting at verse 34 of chapter 11. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and shall it be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know, that God, as we think about God, you know, the other evening we could see a comet, and we look out there. Astronomers tell us that this comet is approximately 130,000 miles in diameter. And that tail that we see that looks so small is approximately 18 million miles long. And you stand in awe of this. And we can look at the stars and the universe, and we see an awesome God. A God that can create more than we can imagine. We can't even fathom the spaces. We can't fathom what he has created. We see a God that has created creation around us is immense and amazing. But as I stop and think about this God created all these beautiful things that work the way he has designed. And God created angels that worship him in heaven. And yet, he must have not been satisfied. He still wanted more. And he created man. Man that has the power of choice. Man that we are born with an Adamic nature. We know that in the garden, man has fallen. And then he has chosen to pay that price to redeem us back to him. As I think about that, you know, it just warms my heart to know that this awesome God still wanted someone that would choose to worship him. Someone that would, it takes more power than we have of ourselves. We have to have that renewed mind. We have to have the salvation of Christ, that we can worship him, and that we can end up in heaven, worshiping and praising the Creator. So we serve an awesome God. In light of that, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's those that are saved, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we're supposed to give our bodies a living sacrifice. No, I think there's one thing harder than to give our bodies, and that is to give our living sacrifice. That means each day we have to present ourselves that we can be used by God. I looked up this word sacrifice. This is what Webster has to say. It says, the act of giving up, destroying, permitting injury to, or forgoing something valued for the sake of something having a more pressing claim. So someone has a more pressing claim in our lives tonight than we do. Someone has created us, and someone has bought us back. I trust each and every one tonight that has given their life and have been bought back by the Creator. And we present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, reasonable service. You know, once we think of this God that has created everything, this God that has bought us back, is it not our duty to live for Him? In fact, I think there's a better way to look at it than that. It should be our joy. It's a privilege to give our lives to Him, that we can live in a way that would bring honor and glory to our Creator, that we can live with Him throughout eternity. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's a couple things here that I would like to notice. One of them is the order here. I see an order of operation. We're not to be conformed. We're to be transformed. And this is done by the renewing of our mind. But after this is done, then we can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think that's important tonight. That sometimes we feel like we maybe we're doing what we should. You know, and this verse here has been really was the challenge that brought me to this scripture. You know, we believe a life of nonconformity. You know, a life that where we are separate from the world. But I challenge you to think of the setting when this was given. When Paul wrote this to the Romans, the Romans had things they looked for to find Christians. They looked for things like not serving in the military. And they looked for things of like not attending their games in the theaters, their war games and their entertainment. You know, these people did not look different than society around them. So this morning, while I think it's today with society falling the way it has, I keep saying this morning, it's this evening, I apologize, but with society falling the way it has, we look different. And I fear sometimes for myself that maybe I use that as my nonconformity. Maybe since I look different, I feel like we're different. And yet he specifically says here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I'd like to look at these words here, a couple of these words here a little bit. It says, be not conformed. Conformed is when you're formed or fashioned like some, you form something. Be not conformed to this world. You know, are we driven with things of this world? Do we share the same values of the world? Do we desire to look like the world or act like the world? Do we have the same value system as the world? You know, I'm told that in North Korea that they're trained today to pick out Christians. They look for things. There's things that they look for. One of them is, do they have a good marriage? Are they able to break addictive substance abuse? Is someone able to break free from drinking or something addictive? Do they have good relationships with those around them? You know, I found that challenging this morning. Am I conformed to the world? Or am I transformed? This word transformed comes from a Greek word, metamorpho. It is used three other times in Scripture. Two of them are referring to the Mount of Transfiguration, and it's translated transfigured. It was people on the Mount there, they were transfigured. The other time is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to turn to that, read a couple of verses there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this word's going to appear in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 3. But to get the setting here, I want to start reading at verse 13. So it's translated as changed in verse 18, but starting in verse 13 it says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, but the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But when we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So again, we see that change, transfigured, transformed. So it says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that's not just putting something on the outside and looking different. Nature uses the same word, and it's called metamorphosis. A butterfly has a beautiful example of a metamorphosis. And as the butterfly, it starts out as a caterpillar, as you all know, crawls around on a green plant. It's eating green leaves. And all it can do is crawl and eat. And it's fuzzy, creepy, crawly. The time comes when this caterpillar decides to spin a cocoon, and it makes a chrysalis. It wraps itself up in a shell, and it's in there for a period of time. And when this shell opens, something entirely different comes out. We were at a butterfly sanctuary a few years ago, and they had a whole rack of these chrysalises coming out. The butterflies were coming out. And I noticed that as these butterflies came out, that they'd crack open and they'd hang there beside their shell. And it took a while. You'd see them starting to flex their wings and they would hang there. And the One worker there, I asked about this, and they said, if that butterfly falls off in this process, it will never live. It has to dry. It has to strengthen its wings. You know, I had to think, is that not like us today? You know, as we put away our sinful nature, as we are born again, there's a period where Scripture would call it babes in Christ, where we're immature. And it takes time for us to transform and mature. You know, and as that butterfly flaps its wings, eventually it starts fluttering away. You know, what's amazing is this butterfly that before could get, the highest it could get is the top of the tallest weed it could find, and now can soar above everything. Soar to new heights with a beautiful, beautiful appearance. But you know, that butterfly had a change of heart, if you think about it. Its instinct went from crawling and eating leaves to now it knows how to fly. And its diet has changed as well. It's going from eating leaves to eating nectar. It eats other things, but nectar is a primary food for a lot of butterflies. You know, I had to think, is that not again reflective on our lives? We'll have a change of diet. We're going to desire the sincere milk of the word once we are transformed. We're no longer do we desire the tainted things of the world. We're going to be looking for the sincere milk of the word. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus when he came to him that ye must be born again. You know, I believe that's the way it is for us. We must be born again. But it says, by the renewing of the mind. You know, I believe that word renewing has a lot of the same aspects of what we just talked about and transformed. And yet I wanted to. One thing that stuck out to me is that in our shop we install things that say remade in the USA. It's engines, transmissions. They've been remanufactured here. And as you tour that plant that is remaking this engine, what do we expect when we get an engine in, put it in? You know, if I put in this nice, shiny engine, you put it in a vehicle, and you start it up, and you find out that all they did was paint the outside, would you be happy? Would you be satisfied if that was your vehicle you had brought? None of us would be. You know, the process to get that engine is, as we toured the plant that did it, there was a conveyor. And this engine, as it went down the conveyor, everything came off of that engine. The covers came off. The internals came out. They discarded a lot of the pieces. The major components got shipped off to be redone. But what was the first thing that happened? As that block was bare, what was the first thing that happened? It went into a cleaner. And they took the process seriously. This cleaner that it went into was two stories tall. Had a thermometer on the side. It showed a internal temperature of over 700 degrees. The guide told us that it's one of the only machines in the country because of its expense. 20 years ago, that machine cost over $1 million. Why? Just to clean. It's important that this product is clean. As these blocks came out the other side of this machine, they look like new. They were just bare steel. No paint, no dirt, nothing survived the process. This morning, it's the same in our lives. Unless we come out clean, we will not be renewed. The renewing process will not be successful. The price to get us there is high. Christ came and gave his blood on the cross that we can have new life. You know, if we retain things in our lives, if we don't allow all the covers to come off of our heart, if we don't allow access everywhere, and we retain sins in our lives, then the renewing process will not be complete. We will lose the blessing. Let's turn to John chapter 14. As I think of this renewing process, again, in John chapter 14 here, we're going to start reading at verse 15 through 21. And the thought is actually repeated a couple times here, but I want to pay attention to order. It says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be able to me, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." I see an order of operation here. It's saying if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. Then he's going to pray the Father, and he will give us the Comforter. So the Comforter comes after obedience, after we keep the commandments. And it says in verse 17, it says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not." Brothers and sisters, if we fail in the first part, if we miss the obedience part, if we miss the Comforter, we're not even going to see. The world doesn't even see it. It's hid. It doesn't even know him. All because we fail to be obedient. We fail in our step. You know, for the young ones here, this is probably something you don't even know about, but we used to use a thing called maps or directions. Today, this analogy doesn't work as well, but you know, we used to have directions. It says, go 2 miles, turn right till you see whatever, and then turn left. And you know, what happens when you miss one of those? Ah, well, one don't matter, right? And you just keep going, following, you know, you miss it. If you forget to turn at the first corner, you need to turn around and go back and get that step. Today's GPS is just, say, recalculating. And God's word, God's will for us, doesn't just recalculate. If we it's not optional when to follow his commands. We must obey each command that is revealed to us before we can expect to be led further, before we can even expect to have the Spirit with us. You know, all this is for the renewed mind. So a renewed mind, when we put in a renewed engine, what is it? It's just restored to its original capacity. What's the original capacity of man? You know, in the Garden of Eden, man walked with God. Man had communion with God. You know, there was a connection there. We knew each other. And as we have a renewed mind, we are going to wish, we're going to have that connection. We're going to have that prayer connection with our Creator. And again, basically repeating what I said before, Psalm says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, again, if sin is going to jeopardize our connection with the Lord. You know, the renewed mind is going to have renewed goals. As I think of goals, Matthew chapter 25 there's a passage there that has really stood out to me. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. This talks about, this is the parable at judgment. I just want to take note of what he is saying here. Starting at verse 31, it says, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." You know, we can read this, and we can say, wow, we really need to watch out and help those that are in need around us. And we need to be helpful people and keep our eyes open. But I'd like to take notice. These were judged by things that they didn't see. The righteous didn't see the acts they did. Those in sin didn't see the acts they missed. Why is that? You know, soon after I opened my business, I learned a lesson. A customer came and brought me a car. And this car was not a car I was real familiar with. It was an older car. I don't remember the exact age. Shows my interest level in the car, in old cars. But it was definitely a car from the 30s era, I would say. It was an older car. This customer came. I knew his name. I knew him by name. I had his address, had his phone number. I would say I knew the customer. He dropped this car off, and he wanted some repairs done on this car. And as he dropped this car off in my driveway, he said, I don't want this car in the rain. And I said, okay, I'll try to watch out for that. Now, shop's full, and we do, at that time, we were doing some of the jobs as we pull them up to the door and they work on them outside. And we were working there, and suddenly I noticed it had clouded up. It looked like rain. And then a drain drop fell, and I told Jonathan, I said, we got to get this car inside. Well, the shop was full. So I ran up to my garage, and I backed the vehicle out, and we pushed this car up the drive into the garage. And as we were just getting into the garage, it was just starting to rain. And this car had water spots, you know, water drops on the car. And I just remember the feeling. We got it in the garage, and we got our job done. You know, this thing's not in the rain. I turned around, and there stood the owner. Now, the owner rated my job a lot different than I did. You see, I failed to know this owner. This owner was not very happy. He said, "This car has never been in rain in its life." I had missed an important detail. This owner was a professional restorer, nationally known. This car's value was much different in his eyes than in my eyes. While I thought I followed the letter of the law, while I thought I had achieved, I had really missed. This morning, if we don't have a renewed mind, and if we don't know our Master, if we don't value what he values, we will miss. We will miss his commands. We won't see those needs around us. We won't. And we'll get to judgment, and we will have thought that we achieved. And in reality, we fail to know our Master. Does he know us? Do we know him? Do we have that connection? As we think of this renewed mind, there's also something else that we have a shift in our goals. We have a shift in the way we see things. I was studying for a baptism message, and I was taken back as I was reading in Doctrines of the Bible by Daniel Kaufman. He said he spoke of the baptism of suffering. And this is found in Matthew chapter 20. And there Jesus tells his disciples that, I'll just read verses 22 and 23 here in Matthew chapter 20. It says, "But Jesus answered and said, 'Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they say unto him, 'We are able.' And he said unto them, 'Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father.'" So the setting here is Zebedee's children had, the mother had asked Christ if one could sit on the right and one on the left. And it made some hard feelings. But Jesus asked them if they're able to drink of the cup that he is going to drink of. And they said that they were able. And you know, I find it interesting that each of those disciples standing there, with the exception of John on the Isle of Patmos, gave their lives as a martyr. Each of them drank of the cup that Christ had. In fact, history would say, I didn't find details, but John, before he was banished on the Isle of Patmos, he was sentenced to be thrown into a barrel of boiling oil. And he escaped. The account I read did not give any details, if he went through the oil or if he managed to escape, but he too suffered for the Lord, and he had the baptism of suffering. You know, once we are renewed and have the values with Christ, we rejoice when we're counted worthy to suffer for Christ. As we move on in Romans chapter 12, there's some examples here of renewed thinking. He gives us the command to present our bodies and to be transformed. And then in verse 3 it says, "For I say, though through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You know, our focus isn't on ourselves. When we focus on ourselves, we swing from thinking from pride to depression. You know, maybe we don't attain, or maybe we think we do attain. But reality is, we're focused on God. What can we do? What measure has He given us that we can, as we serve Him, the focus is not ourselves. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." So here we see, as the brother mentioned this morning, about the body of Christ. You know, we are all members. We each have our part to do. You know, sometimes we look around and we can say, "Well, maybe I'm the strongest. I mean, I think I could do this myself. Maybe I'm the strongest one in the body." I think Christ would probably call us a leg. We're just part of the body. Strongest muscle in our body is in our legs. Maybe we're intelligent, and yet maybe we're just the brain of the body. We need each other, and together we can serve the Lord. Verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." You know, as we think of the body of Christ and communing with Christ and abhorring that which is evil, you know, as I'm sitting with my bride and we're having a date, there's something that she abhors. It's brown, fuzzy, not this long. And if that joins our date, we lack communication. Priorities change. We must get rid of the mouse before we can have fellowship together. You know, that's the way it is with our relationship with Christ. When we have evil with us, the relationship ends. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which bless you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep." Again, I see here that why are we here? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. You know, as we think of, you know, why we have our businesses, why we work. Is it not to give to those in need? Is it not to help those around us? Again, where is our focus? Where is our mind tonight? Why do we do what we do? Verse 16 here, it says, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, today, as we have that renewed mind, we will realize that we really are stewards. Everything we have is given to us. Our abilities, our time, we've been given health, granted health. And when we realize that it's stewards, then when someone takes the things that we count ours, we realize that it's the Lord's. We're here to just be stewards of what he has given us. And vengeance is the Lord's. He can avenge his own. He can repay. And he says to feed our enemies. I'd like to close with a story that took place in Russia. I don't know the exact conflict this was in, but when this man was walking home from a grocery store, he had purchased some food, and on his way home, there was a train. And in this train was prisoners that were headed the side that this man was found himself on, had made progress in the war and had taken prisoners from the other side. And so these were enemy prisoners in this train. And as this man was walking past, one of the prisoners called out and said, "Sir, could you share some of your food with us?" And this man walked over and he handed cheese and meat through the slats in this rail car and gave the food to the man inside and continued on his way home. Well, as time continued, the tide of the war changed. And in time, he found himself a prisoner. And he found himself in prison, and he was coming before a judge to determine their fate. Most of these prisoners were being sentenced to Siberia. And this was basically a death sentence. Siberia's a very cold environment, and very few prisoners survive this sentence. And one after another was getting sentenced and shipped to Siberia, and his turn came up. The judge stopped, and he looked at him and said, "Sir, I believe we've met before." And this man said, "No, I think you have the wrong person." And the judge says, "No, I believe we've met before." He said, Do you remember a time when there was someone that called to you from a rail car?" And this man said, "Yes, I do remember that." He goes, "What did you do?" He said, "Well, he asked for food." He said, "Yes, we have met before." And he was pardoned of being shipped to Siberia because of his show of love and concern. You know, not always are we going to be recompensed in this life. Sometimes we won't see the fruits of our labors until in the next life, in judgment day. But so with that, I'd like to thank each one for your kind attention this evening, and I trust that each and every one of you are living lives of renewed thinking. So with that, let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this evening thanking you for all the blessings you have given us. Lord, we thank you that you are God Almighty and that you have given your Son to redeem us from our sins. Lord, we want to thank you for your plan of salvation. And Lord, we want to thank you for a faithful Christian body that we can work together and help each other live for you. Lord, I thank you for this congregation here this evening. Lord, just want to pray a blessing on them as they go forth. Lord, that they might be a light, a witness. Lord, that we all could be counted worthy of you and join you someday. Lord, we just want to pray for those that are not as fortunate. Lord, we realize there are many needs in the world this evening. Lord, there are many that are hurting. Lord, there's those hurting in our midst. Lord, just help us reach out and help and assist as you give strength. Lord, we want to pray for those that are in war-torn countries. Give them strength and protection, if not against your will. Lord, we want to pray for those that are sick, afflicted. Be with them. Give them strength and healing, if not against your will. Lord, we just want to ask these favors and blessings in your name. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.